The Western Huddle for everything AFL, featuring the biggest names in WA and all the breaking news.
Big goal for the West Coast Eagles.
92.9 Triple M Perth.
Hello, 40. Welcome to the Western Huddle.
Tommy, it's good to see your face again. We had a one-week hiatus and we're back.
Yeah. Have you thought about that open where it says all the biggest names?
Well, it must be incorrect because my name doesn't really sing off the sheet. And in fairness, yours does, but not in the sense that Dennis Cometti's might.
You got it made thinking that we'd actually have guests on this show, didn't you?
Oh, no, that's not true. I knew it was just going to be me and you talking footy, an eagle
all
and a
biggest
docker.
Names. Well, we're yet to come on the show.
Well, we had X in here about a minute ago, and then the second the red light went on, he just walked off.
Just walked off.
Yeah, he would have been a big name, Xavier Ellis.
Yeah, but he's like, how much am I getting paid for this?
Yeah, he's a bit like that, isn't he?
Nothing, and he's like, see you later.
I reckon the market's a bit saturated of Xavier Ellis. There's so much of him.
Is there any danger of him not being on a show on this network?
I reckon he needs a week off Instagram as well. Out of form. Out of form.
Mate, it's just the amount of stuff he's posting at the moment.
He was funny until they started paying him for doing that stuff. Don't you reckon?
That tap touch medal.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, he was funny until then. At the moment.
He was well done. But he did miss the boat when he should have had Baz come in and push him out the way to present the medal. That would have been dynamite.
Hey, is this one of the more boring a trade periods we've ever seen, or do you have a different take on it?
Well, there hasn't really been. The biggest name that's moved has been Adam Chera. Besides him, there've been kind of bit players, you know, so your Dunstan and your O'Brien and those kind of guys. There hasn't really been any big fish. So I don't think we've actually missed that much having a week off.
No,
so
not at all. But I feel like the sizzle might not be here in the week, or have I just read it wrong? Because Sam Petrescu-Seaton coming to West Coast, that's not sexy, is it? Do they need him?
No. And we'll get to him. There's a lot to go through. I mean, so right now it is Tuesday morning, just so we know, because stuff could obviously happen
right
after this podcast comes out this afternoon, you know. So Tuesday morning, Perth time, it's just after 10 Western time, so 1 in the East. So trade period actually finishes tomorrow late. I think it's 7:30 Eastern, so 4:30 Perth time.
And that's because they will try to do a bit of a TV coverage or a live stream coverage
some
of the
kind
final
of
hour.
Like,
so are they holding? Are a lot of the good trades now holding for that moment?
They're holding for the moment. And also you find that the trade period cuts off, and it takes some time for people who've lodged their trades online because they're not all in the same room them to eventually go through. So I do expect that tomorrow, sort of 4:35, there might be a flurry of late ones that you think aren't done, then all of a sudden they come out there, which is great for a show like mine that records sort of, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon to get out by 3, and then all of a sudden the show goes to air at 6. So Lockie and Embers, if you're listening, you might be coming back at 5 o'clock to record an extra spot for the show tomorrow night on the Rush Hour.
Hey, can I ask you a question without notice?
Yeah.
Is there anything in the trade period that you actually don't understand? I know that you're a footy expert, but there's so much jargon, so much movable items.
The point system is a joke.
So I don't understand.
Whoever came up with that point system it's ridiculous. But the point system should be easy for a general punter to follow, right? That should be, if a general punter can't look at that and work it out, then they're going to be confused by it, put off by the whole trade thing, and they're not kind of enter the conversation and partake in it all. And you listen to trade radio and shows like that, even they're experts on that. Like Brendan Goddard repeatedly says, I have no idea about the point system. Now, if he's the person on the show that's supposed to explain it and he doesn't know, how is the layman person supposed to know what's going on? So
would you say it might be a made-up number by those with the powers that be
I think they've got to figure it out. Like, it was all done so you can trade picks and get compensation and have bids on academy players and father sons, and that has to equal X amount of picks, which is why you've seen teams like Collingwood and the Western Bulldogs. Collingwood moved their picks last season, so they didn't trade their future picks this season because they didn't need them because they wanted to bid on Nick Dacos. So they're going to package up a whole lot of picks at the back end of the draft. They've traded for like 41, 42, 48 to get enough points so they can then bid on Nick Dacos and not cost them an early pick. Anyway, it's all over the place. But it is the Western Huddle.
Okay, glad I asked.
So let's get stuck into some WA stuff. So I'm going to start with your mob with Freo. I'm going to run you through the people that have been traded, they've been talked about being traded.
Okay.
We can talk about each one.
Then I'm going to jump in.
You can jump through.
Because I'm happy with Peter Bell.
Let's start with the biggest balls up of Freo for the trade period.
Excuse me?
And it comes from one man, Rory Lobb. What's going on with Rory? Seriously, you're a Freo fan. So Rory Lobb came to the club from the Giants on big money. 4-year deal, 700K a season. He's played a couple of years. Then about 6 months ago, I think we spoke about it, there was murmurs he wanted to go to Melbourne because his partner has a job, we think, at one of the racing clubs, that is the male.
Well, we know her, there's some connections there with
the Melbourne Rossich Rating, family.
With the Rossich family, but it then appeared that Melbourne wasn't going to be the destination.
Okay, so now he wants to go to GWS,
yes,
which is back to the club,
mm-hmm.
But he can't get there.
But my understanding,
so now he's going to stay?
Some of the messaging I'd heard was it was because he was looking for success in the next 3 years, ultimate success, and he didn't see that at Fremantle, but he saw it at other clubs. I'm not sure GWS is, they might be there. Obviously, it appears that way. He thinks it's that way. But is it what is wrong with Rory Lobb, or is it what is wrong with Colin Young? Has he had a poor trade period? Because some of his messaging, you know, because he speaks for the players, he speaks for Rory Lobb.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power, Colin Young.
He does have a lot of power.
Yeah, and he's...
But has he got this one right?
Well, he clearly hasn't. I think they thought they'd get the deal done, because you think he normally would organise these deals kind of in the behind the public eye and have them ready to go and then kind of leak it out a bit and just fine-tune the last kind of detail of it.
Yeah.
But all reports, they're nowhere near it. And the sticking point, I think, has been that the Giants want Freo to pay some of Rory's contract.
Mm.
And Freo were like, well, if he wants to leave, bugger him. He's got 2 years to go. We'll keep him. But we're in no hurry to pay any of his contract. And so the pick, I think, is insignificant. I think it would be a second rounder or a future second rounder. But I think Freo would be like, okay, you don't want to be here, fine. You're on 700K. You've produced one goal a game. You're inconsistent.
Mm.
You think you're a forward, but you're probably a ruck. The gap between Rory's best and worst is too far,
he's
in my opinion.
He's a very good player against very poor opposition. He can tear a game apart when he's playing against subpar opposition. And when it comes, when push does come to shove against those higher teams, he isn't the player that you sometimes think he is.
Yeah, so if he was a $400,000 player, sure, no problem. I understand that ruck forward combination player is hard to find. Clubs want one. It's an in-demand position, but you can't pay someone $700,000 a year to kick one goal a game.
No, you can't, but he potentially is, and he's paid on potential.
Is he 28?
He's
the potential's gone. Like he's in his prime
but he's
now.
He's still paid on potential, and his potential is he could be the greatest forward ruck combo.
Well, he's not Luke
in the AFL.
Luke Jackson's already better than him, and he's a kid.
Well done, and correct. You're right, but that is the potential he had promised, and that he's still got on his contract. Got 2 years to show that potential.
I understand. I completely get why they paid him. He had that one breakout year the year before they picked him up for the Giants when he was really good up forward, taking contested marks, kicking goals, looked like anything. You have to overpay to get a player back. West Australian person. They were after a key forward. I understand why you paid him. I get why you paid him the money. No problem with that whatsoever. But if I'm Fremantle and I can get off that money, I'm getting off it now. He's not in the next premiership team. We probably think they're 3 to 4 years away. I think if you can get off 700K, get off it.
Yep.
Bank the money. They've got money left over from Chera. We think they've got a lot of room in their salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Ryan Daniels wrote in the paper they might front end Nat Fife's deal now, which means so end of next season they have even more money to spend.
Gee. You could go into management.
So if you've then got, say, 700 left from Rory and you can put some of Fifey's half a million left over, you can go to Luke Jackson and say, hey, Luke, here's 1.2 over 5 years and pay him the money. Like, go pay for someone and have another go.
But
or you just go back to the draft and keep the money to then pay your next draftees when you need it.
The one issue with Luke Jackson right here, right now, is he doesn't want to leave. He's a Melbourne man. He's just won a premiership. He likes the place. He said it after the grand final.
Sure. One year left, and they come and say, Melbourne offer him 600, and Freo come and say, we'll give you 1.2. I mean, you're on a hunt, probably, what, 200K here. So if 96FM said here's 400,000, you'd be moving, right?
Look, Tommy, I think the issue is now it appears in less than 48 hours, Rory Lobb will remain at Fremantle. And what do they do with him? He clearly doesn't want to play in the ruck. Yeah. And that's a position
he doesn't want
dominate.
To be here. Like, clearly he doesn't want to be here. Like, we've heard stories about him wanting to leave for 6 months.
Mm.
So it's not like that. Those stories must have been sort of true.
Mm.
He has to walk back into the football club with his tail between his legs and then face the leadership kind of players that are like, what happened, mate? Like, we thought you were in, but you're clearly out.
But he's not the first ever player in the AFL to have experienced that. I reckon West Coast have randomly been hoodwinked into just signing Petrescu Seaton.
Yeah. Where'd
they come from? They don't need him.
Yeah.
They got a million of those blokes. Mm. They've got rid of a million of those blokes on their books when they delisted a few of them.
Mm.
And now they've got another player exactly like the others.
What is going on there?
What's the trade theory behind that?
He's on the rundown. We'll get to him in a second. Let's keep going with Frio, right? Okay. So that Royal Lob one, they've stuffed up. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if it got done in the last kind of day.
Yeah, it probably could, couldn't it?
The next one's Will Brody, right? So so the Will Brody deal is purely a money to get Gold Coast off your salary cap.
Yeah, that is a money ball decision.
So the Frio got pick 19, Will Brody, and they gave up a future second rounder, which you think for them will be about 25. So they've basically moved up about six or seven spots in the draft and got Will Brody. That's the deal.
Right.
So Will Brody, these are his stats. So 2019 was his best season. Averaged 21 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles, 5 clearances. That's the player they hope they can get. I like it. I think, why not? You've moved up in the draft. You got the salary cap money to spend. You're just basically just paying now to move up in the draft. That's all they've done. They're just taking some salary cap space out to move up. Why not? I think it's a good deal for Peter Bell. They've done well. Who knows? He might prove to be a player. They got a few of him. They got your James A. shit, all those kind of players. Connor Blakely. They're going back to the well with those recycled players before. So he's still a kid, high draft pick. Mickey Barlow said yesterday, had some talent at Gold Coast, but probably thought he was better than what he was, but understands that now. So I don't mind the Will Brody one.
So Fremantle holds pick six and pick 8 currently in the draft.
6, 8, 19, 22, and 61. So 4 picks inside 22.
And it's the 6 and the 8 that give them a real trade currency wherever they want to go. That gives them scope if they want
to go to the draft and pick up a couple of your players. You'd think the Erasmus and Jaya Miss are probably the two players they're looking at.
So you'd hope they go local. Frio often talk about going local in the lead up to drafts and then find themselves skewing to a Victorian or a South Australian player. Lachie Neal, another Harpat example, Cherry examples as well. But they see that now that they actually they can jump ship. So I'd love to see them go parochial West Aussie, bring the Fremantle back to Fremantle.
Yeah.
As a player who they could pick up who would just about be the most beloved Fremantle player. I got a name. Can we tell you the name or should I tell you a little later?
No, go for it. Why not?
Is this on your run sheet?
We're just in Frio. Yeah. We can slip it in.
Okay. Angus Sheldrick.
Never heard of him.
You will.
Is he an Irishman?
Well, hopefully, if you will, if he gets picked up at Fremantle. He's not an Irishman. Turn it up, mate. He plays for Claremont.
Okay.
He's an inside bull. He's just won their best and fairest. I think he might have just had the 14 or so clearances in the Waffle Grand Final with the Colts.
Okay.
They lost by 6 points in the end.
But he won't go inside 10, so he's probably going to go, what, with the 19 or 22 pick, one of those ones?
He might go inside 10. Really? He's that good.
So I think from all reports, Erasmus is the best kid, the best midfielder for WA.
Well, he's got the best, he's speedy, he's got the talent, he's got the goal sense, but Sheldrick has been a real late runner in this draft.
My mail is they will pick up a key forward in the draft, and it's most likely to be local, and they'll probably reach on him, and I think it'll be Jai Miss. I think he's the one they'll go for. Good set shot kid, tall forward, athletic, can take a mark, and I don't think he's probably worth pick 8, which will probably become pick 10 because of the compo picks, but I reckon they'll reach and just take one.
Okay.
They need to. Anyway, the last two to cover. Adam Cherry, what did you think? Pick 6 in the future third?
I think it was a really strong deal from Fremantle. I like the fact that they got themselves lower in the draft again. Look, credit to Carlton. They gave a clean deal there. That's what we asked for. That's what they delivered.
Yeah.
They saw, obviously, a value in Chera. We saw the value for him in the trade. And look, once a player, and being a Fremantle man, once somebody declares that they don't want to be at Fremantle, I'm so happy for them to move off the books.
I've got a couple of thoughts on it. So one, I think the value is slightly under what Freo should have gotten. I think I think you're basically
pick 3 or something.
No, I think you're giving up the same pick as what you drafted him with, right?
Mm.
Drafting's not an exact science.
No.
So only 50% of those picks in the top 10 are going to be any good. So you take a risk every time you've got it. They've taken the risk, got the player, developed him. But when a player's out of contract, you kind of stuff. There's nothing you can do. So I think the fact he's out of contract cancels out the fact they've probably got unders, and the deal becomes about the same kind of value.
Look, I don't particularly,
because the future third's worth nothing.
Chera's got the best one of the, along with Mundy, had one of the best foot skills in the Fremantle side. As an actual player in the AFL, in the whole system, I've spoken to a very senior player of a club that isn't Fremantle, and he doesn't rate Chera one iota.
What? A friend asked me this the other day, why didn't Frio trade him with a year to go on his contract?
Well,
do you reckon they knew he wanted to leave back then?
I don't know. They might have. They might have had mixed messages. Maybe that was they didn't have the foresight to do it. Maybe they thought that they could convince him under Justin Longmire, and Justin Longmire maybe was a bit cocksure of himself and thought that I could probably get this guy to stay.
That's the next. It's not always the case. That's the next move, the power move from clubs. They'll demand, which the Players Association won't give them, they'll demand more power. Mm. The fact now players are like saying, I want to go with contracts to go. The AFL, the clubs will want the same as the NBA, which is basically you can just ship players off whenever you want.
But the AFL doesn't mind when players do it because they've been able to create a new brand, and that's AFL Trade Week. It's got a tire sponsor to it.
I love the player movement. There should be more of it. Mm. There should be another trade window before the season or one in the middle of the season. That's another conversation. So we think Chera is about right. Now, Jordan Clark, this is the one that I'm a bit funny on. Mm. So 19 and 22 is the sticky point. They'll get that deal done. But they're overpaying for him, clearly overpaying for Jordan Clark.
Well, whoever had the intel when it came to the unproven footy theories, I remember Jordan Clark featuring very strongly that he would be coming to Fremantle. It's obviously proved correct. He's got the house here. He's got the car here.
Yeah, but so he basically you're saying that his value is the same as Adam Cheras.
He is a very, very good footballer.
So taking pick 15, you're giving up pick 19 or something for him. He hasn't played in 3 years. How does anyone know he's good?
He's a very, very good footballer.
Is he?
Yes.
Based on what?
Based on how he came into the AFL system, was able to change Geelong's wing and the way he was able to run it and his delivery to the forwards. He was brilliant.
He's played 29 games in 3 years.
And those 29 games he played pretty quickly, and since then he hasn't had a look in because behind the scenes at Geelong, from the people I've spoken to.
We've heard that Matty Scarlett stuff didn't rate him as a defender. I get it.
No, some of the people I've spoken to didn't think that maybe his work rate was there to be at an AFL standard in what they thought was a premiership window. And he's obviously suffered for that. And he's now here and he wants to come home and he's a very, very good player.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen enough of him to say he's worth pick 19 or 22. But this is the reverse of the Chera one. Mm. He's in contract. So you have to overpay him because he's in contract. Mm. So at the end of next season, if he wasn't, Freer could probably get him for pick 30 or something like that. So expect that deal to be done.
When quality people want to come to your club like Fremantle, you make sure you get them.
Yeah.
That's what Justin Longmire wants, quality people, players.
Let's go to West Coast. I'm with you. So Sam Petrescu, Seton.
Shocking.
They got him for nothing. These are his numbers. So 2021, 13 games, 15 disposals, 2 tackles. His best season was 2019, averaged 19, 4 marks, 4 tackles, 2 clearances. So he comes to the club with he's a high-rated kid.
Yep.
Was drafted, played almost 100 games, hasn't shown anywhere near what they thought they would. Carlton were happy for him to go. Didn't even offer him a contract. For him to bounce. West Coast got him for nothing, hoping they can turn him into a mid/half forward. So my problem.
Does he play round one?
He's not in their best 22.
No,
and
he's not.
People can go through and say, he's in their best 22 and he's going to be a great difference. I just don't see where he fits in.
And that's the issue. If I'm Yo, if I'm Sheed, if I'm Shuey, and I'm sitting there and they've got hold of that midfield spot and West Coast bring in Sam Petrescu Seton, well, I ain't too worried.
So this is the depth chart, right? So for those thinking, oh, no, he's definitely their best 22. So he's a midfielder, right? He's behind Yo, Shuey, Redden, Kelly, Sheed, and Gaff, behind all of them.
Right.
Hands down. Oh, he's a half forward. Okay, where are we going to play him as a half forward? He's behind Cripps, Ryan, Rioli. You'd probably have him behind Petrocelli, maybe even behind Waterman. They play a tall forward line, so you've got 4 talls as well, so he's not fitting in there, right? Oh, well, he can go to half back. Oh, no, he can't, because you've got Hearn, Shepherd, Duggan, Nelson, Cole, Witherden. So this is based on them all being fit. The plus side is it cost him nothing. Have a flyer at him. See if he comes back home. Use his talent. Can find a spot. He fits into their demographic the same as kind of Witherden and those kind of players. Whereas a couple of years' time when Shuey and stuff are gone, Hearn and Shepherd and stuff, he'll still be around. So
even better, he could play in the West Coast Reserves team, which doesn't even exist anymore. So right now, I don't think he wouldn't even know where he'd be playing in 2022.
I'm not sold on him either. The other one that's going to move is Brander, who hasn't been one I've been a fan of for a while.
Yeah, why is that? Okay, why? Playing cart guy, he plays good footy, he's all right.
No, he doesn't. Has he ever played good footy?
So
half draft pick, first round pick, the last one West Coast took. They've tried to make him into from a key position player to a wingman, to a mid, to a half forward, to a back. I think they've cooked him really. And he looks like the kind of player that doesn't have the mental strength to be able to deal with being moved around all the time. And they're happy for him to go. I just don't think there's been any interest. I can't see them redrafting him. I think he'll just be delisted and be gone.
Right. Well, I always get him and Rotham confused when I just see him visually.
Good. Rotham's a good player.
No, but visually they look very similar, I reckon.
Nah, I don't think West Coast will lose anything out of Brander moving on. I just think he's taking up a list spot that you could give to a kid, and he's had enough time. But
so where does West Coast go in the draft? What do they look for? Are they going local? What do they do?
10, 29, 35, and 68. Mm. I don't think they'll care about local. Players don't leave the Eagles. It's not like Freo where all your best players want to leave every second week.
Mm.
Like, the amount of players leaving your club is astonishing, really. Like, people like want to dance around it, but, you know, Hill, Neil, Langdon, Weller, Lobb, like, there's plenty more too. They
you don't want to be there, you can leave. The door's always open to
leave. The difference with West Coast is players don't leave the club, right? They doesn't matter where they come from. Their environment they've had for a long period of time is that they stay. So
yeah, they stay and they go to the NT or Tiwi Islands for 2 years and don't play footy and clog up the list like, what was that bloke? Oh, that's right, Rioli.
Yeah, he'll be back next season, star back in the Australian side. So I don't think they'll worry about where they come from. I just think they'll take the best available kid.
Yep.
They need some more midfield depth, some young depth, because the O'Neill, those like players coming through like that, I don't think they've got the depth they need.
Mm.
And they probably need another key position player.
Mm.
So we'll see. I think they'll just take the best available player. The one that I wouldn't be surprised might happen in the next 36 hours is they need another ruckman desperately.
Yeah,
so,
they do.
So if Nick goes down, they only have Bradley Williams and Callum Jamieson on their books, who are both 21-year-old kids developing, and Jamieson, I think, was more of a key defender slash ruck. So,
well, he rucked when he was in when he played Colts for Claremont, Jamieson, and he reminds me a little bit of Dean Cox. He could come from nowhere, Jamieson. Yeah, he's athletic. He can run.
You wouldn't want Nick to go down and have to play Williams or Jamieson as your number one ruck. You want a bigger body to
play Oscar Allen and bugger him up.
Well, we'll get to that in the unproven footy theories. So that's West Coast. Not much noise with them. Wouldn't surprise me if something else happened. But yeah. Let's get on to...
Should we do it?
I've got to find the sting for it.
Unproven footy theories.
All right, I'll start. I've got a few for you here. Some of them, sort of. A couple of them are a couple of just goodwill messages for our punters, for the family, to help them out a bit.
Yeah.
So my unproven footy theory is that my mail is that Josh Kennedy's been told that Oscar Allen is the full forward for next season.
Right, okay.
And that he's been saying you will be the sort of backup kind of support player for
and
Oscar.
Adam Simpson tells him that? Who tells him that?
Someone high up at the club.
So you're talking Nisbet sort of stuff.
No, I'm just saying there's been a conversation with Josh saying if you want a contract next year, your money is severely reduced.
And you're the 2IC.
And the 2IC. Right. So I think they've realised they need to give Oscar more time at full forward.
Yep.
They cooked him this year.
Why didn't they choose Darling as the 2IC?
They cooked him. Well, he played centre half forwards. I think he'll play further up the ground. Mm. I think you would say...
I would have made him 3IC then, Darling.
Yeah. Nah, I think if they've realised now, Josh will play probably home games.
Yep.
Play more out of a pocket. And they've got to give Oscar time. But this whole thing about playing Oscar in the ruck and forward line is ridiculous. He's not a ruckman. Stop ruining him. Play him in the forward line. But that becomes their problem then with West Coast is what do they do with their second ruck? Because they want to play Kennedy, Allen, and Darling. That means you have to play a second ruck, which means he rests forward, which means you've got four tall forwards. That's too many. That doesn't work. Then Waterman can't get in the side. So they can't figure out how to sort
that problem. The proof will be round one, Tommy. I'm excited for that one. Oscar Allen full forward in the cage.
Yeah, and Josh Kennedy on a wing doing a Nick Riewoldt style. What's yours?
Mine is to do with Rory Lobb and what he reads.
Oh, here we go.
Rory Lobb, unproven footy theory, sort of proven because I saw it with my own eyes. So I'm at a cafe on Saturday morning, and it was the morning that things were really heating up between Peter Bell, Colin Young, Rory Lobb in that deal GWS. It was a weird stoush, wasn't it? Very weird stoush.
I've got a good Colin Young story I'll tell you off air.
Well, I line up behind Rory Lobb at this particular cafe. Tall bloke. Mm. He's deceivingly tall, actually.
In a selfie?
No selfie or anything like that. But I couldn't help but notice when he got to the counter, just before he ordered his flat white with an extra sugar large, he leaned down, grabbed the paper, flipped it from the front to the back, turned one page over because they have one of those funny covers on the West.
Yeah.
And their front page or back page was the story about him. And then he read it. I reckon he read the first four lines, then had to quickly promptly order his coffee, then grabbed the paper, put it under his...
Stole the paper.
He paid for it. Put the paper under his, what'd you call it? Elbow?
Under his arm.
And then went and read it. So he's an avid reader.
Would you say if you were, if there was something written about you in the paper, you'd be the kind of person that would read it, wouldn't you?
Well, I just going to say to our listeners here on the Western Huddle, if Rory Lobb says in any interviews when he's signed or re-signed, I don't read the paper, I don't listen to the news, I don't watch the news,
he does. Evidence.
Because I watched him do it. I watched him read it.
All right. I've got a couple more to finish on for you. So the Kalgoorlie Racing Ground.
Cal Cup.
Was last weekend. Spice told me that the Eagles had their end of season trip up there.
Yes.
And a few of them might have had a very enjoyable day.
Right.
Okay. Good on them.
There's a few boys from Cal from West Coast, isn't it? Like, Dom Sheed, a cowboy?
Oh, I don't know. Dean Kemp is.
Dean Kemp is from... Yeah,
going back in time.
No, but Dom Sheed is, you know, he is a Kalgoorlie local.
Okay. So I've got some more info for you about West Coast.
Oh.
If you like racing, right?
Yeah.
And you like the old Eagles players, get yourself to Ascot on Saturday.
Right. How old were we? A premiership reunion?
My mail tells me that the 92, 94 and the 06 teams will be having their premiership reunion.
A merger.
At Ascot on Saturday.
Right.
Yeah.
And what year was it? What, so they're not even celebrating a particular year,
no,
are they?
No, they have one every year. They have like a get-together.
Last year was the Gloucester, I remember.
Yeah, and this year they've decided to combine it all.
Right.
And there might even be some players from the 18 team there have been invited as well.
Yep.
But it conflicts with, I think it's Jamie Cripps' wedding down south.
Oh.
So some, those, the, this
well,
is.
Well, there's not that much.
Do you know what I love about Eagles weddings? This is how you work out who's in what group of the friendship group.
Because
you wait for the photos and you see the ones that are in the kind of Cripps circle of friends that have been invited.
Yep, yep.
And the ones that are on the outer.
Right. And you're into that sort
love
of
clicky stuff. What was the year that, was it? It was Jack Darling and someone else had their wedding on the same
Josh
day.
It was Josh Kennedy, and I know the exact story. You're going to roll with it?
Well, they had their wedding on the same day, and there was only like two crossover players that got invited to both.
Oh, there was one.
One.
And that bloke chose to go to Josh Kennedy's wedding.
Yeah. Anyway. Mm. All right. And just one to finish on. This is a tip for you. One.
Unproven tip.
One. Melbourne Cup. There's a horse called Spanish Mission.
Oh.
I might have backed it all the way down. It's now into eights.
Oh. Tommy, this is unproven racing tips.
I'm declaring it as winning the Melbourne Cup.
Ah!
But that's $8 now, so it's a bit short. But I have one for you. So yesterday, the nominations closed for the big Ascot Summer Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Railway Stakes, the Winterbottom, the Guineas, and the Kingston Town.
I'm all ears, Tommy.
Okay. That closed yesterday. Now, my mail is that the market should come out sometime today or maybe tomorrow. From locally, from Tab Touch, the good sponsors of the station.
Yeah, great sponsors.
Also from some other betting agencies. Now, sometimes they get the markets wrong.
You've got to gamble responsibly, Tommy.
Of course. So anyone who follows racing knows that the Kingston Town is a Group 1 staying race where the three-year-old horses get in with a very light weight because it's right. So normally Bob Peters, the Leviathan owner, he's got a whole stable of three-year-olds, right? Some of them haven't even raced yet. Some have had one start. But normally one or two of those will go from a maiden to the Kingston Town in the space of like 3 months. Now, sometimes from previous seasons...
I'm interested, Tommy.
Betting agencies have put horses up at big odds because they haven't really impressed yet.
Mm.
Now, my man, who watches a lot of racing, has given me one. Now... There's a horse by the name of Treasured Star.
Treasured Star.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a Bob Peters. Let me just Google this as we go.
And who's
riding? I got the name wrong. It'll be Pikey. We don't know at this day because it's so far out. But basically, it's a three-year-old, had two starts, just won its last at Northam. Absolutely smashed it in. Yeah, Treasured Star is the horse, filly. Now, the market isn't out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if it comes out and that horse is more than 20-1,
yep,
you should be diving in.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen it in the flesh?
Yeah, I've watched it.
You've seen this horse in the flesh.
So first up in a maiden, started as favourite, got beaten by about 6 lengths, but the race wasn't run to suit. I think it actually might be in this week on Thursday or something.
You've just turned this podcast into the Western races, Tommy.
Anyway,
I love that.
Treasure Star. If it comes out and you can see some big odds...
Jump on.
You better be quick, though, because I tell you what, there'll be a couple of people I know that'll be diving in at the early price, and it won't stay at the price it is very often.
Jump on and jump on responsibly,
Tommy. Only if it comes up at a big price. So they might get it right, and they might put it up short, and then you're like, oh, there's no point. Because if the horse doesn't actually start in the race, you lose your money.
That's true. That's a trap for young players.
So you were taking a risk, but you might get a horse at 50-1 that starts on the day at $3.
It really should refund you if that happens.
Well, it's not. It's not. That's the way the final fields work.
Jeez, your unproven footy theories were better, deeper, more diverse than mine ever could be.
That's it. Trade week next week, we can wrap it up, get into a few more bits and pieces, work out the trade. We've gone way over time, and I hope people are still listening. That's us for the Western Huddle 40. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, Tommy. Thanks, Matt Bellotti.